May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. There is a wonderful teaching in the Word that we have guardian angels. We can find this throughout the Gospels and in many Psalms, including in Psalm 91. In verse 11, we read, or in 10 and 11, in 10 and 11, we read, evil shall not occur for thee, neither shall a plague come near thy tent. For he will command his angels concerning thee, to guard thee in all thy ways. This is just one of many passages that refers to angels protecting. Psalm 91, in particular, is about angels protecting the Lord while he was on earth, ministering to him and giving him strength. But we also have guardian angels, and we can see it very clearly when we look at little children. They have an innocence about them. They have heavenly celestial angels guarding them and protecting them. But as we all know, and it is very sad, little children can be hurt. They can get sick, and they can die. So what are the guardian angels doing? And this is where we should not test the Lord. Arcana Celestia 5992 tells us what angels are looking to do for all of us. Their function is to impart charity and faith, to notice the direction in which a person's delights turn, and to modify and bend those delights towards what is good. That's what guardian angels do for us as adults. For little children, they do something very similar. They protect them. They protect them from evil, which would love to destroy them. The nature of evil is such that it boils up and gets hot and wants to destroy more and more in proportion to the good that is there. And in the promise of an infant, there is so much good that hell would like to destroy. But the good that they would like to destroy isn't merely a baby's life, but that innocence and that connection to the Lord and that connection to the infant's parents. So there are all sorts of strange things that happen with children. One of the most terrible things about parents who abuse their children, from our perspective, is that so often those children still love their abusive parents. And this is a mercy from the Lord. Because for the Lord, he would rather there be no abusive parents, but he leaves them in freedom, and so there are. It is a horrible and evil thing. But the Lord is concerned with that little child's relationship to the Lord and to his church. So even abused children love their parents. And we, from the outside, see that and wonder, how can that be? Because the Lord is looking towards an eternal end. That's how such evil can happen in the world. When we raise children, we know that we shouldn't be so evil to them. But can we be better for them? Better than merely not evil? What good can we do for them? Well, we can teach them what the Lord has in plan for them. What is the Lord wanting for our children? heaven. Now, as a parent, we may want our children, and we may want ourselves, to be successful, popular, good-looking, wealthy, healthy. All these things are good, and the Lord wants them for us, but not at the expense of our eternal salvation, not at the expense of heavenly happiness. Which means when we impart values to our children, we should wonder what we are teaching them. And when we look back on our own childhoods, and we can think about the things that we assume are really important, we can wonder, is that what our parents would really have wanted for us? Is that what the Lord would want for us? So when the child wants to be mean to another, say in a sporting event, and we're rooting for our child because we want them to do well, are we teaching them something wrong? Being nice is much more important than being right. Shunning evils as sins is much more important than being healthy or wealthy or popular. We need to keep our priorities in order, not just for ourselves, but for our children. But let us return to what guardian angels are doing. It's very fascinating. In particular, from Arcana Celestia, the angels moderate affections since they constitute a person's life and also his freedom. They moderate affections. What does that mean? Affections are those parts of us, parts of our will, that can be willing to change for something and that respond when things happen. So, for example, if we have an affection for our children, we're willing to change for them. We're willing to sacrifice. We're willing to give up money and time, lots of it, for our children. We're willing to change for our children. Or for our spouse, we may have an affection for them. We're willing to change for them. Or for the Lord or his word. Are we willing to change for the word? That is also a capacity to respond when those things happen. When a child smiles at us and we feel good, that's because that affection for children is being stirred. When we have a good connection with our spouse and we feel good, that's an affection being stirred. When we hear about horrible things done to people and we feel sad, or afraid, or angry. Those are affections being stirred. Because we were willing to change, and we couldn't do anything about it. So the angels are moderating our affections. So that when we go off into some new evil, the angels can close off a portion of hell and prevent evil spirits from pulling us under. In particular, the angels call forth the forms of good and truth residing within a person and set them opposite the evils and falsities activated by the evil spirits. So what happens is, there's good and truth that resides in us. The good is implanted by the Lord, a remnants of the Lord. And the truth is what we've learned from the Word. When we encounter a new evil, a new opportunity, that's when a test happens. Because first, good is implanted by the Lord, and we learn truth from the Word. And then we are tested. And what evil spirits are doing, they're trying to stir up those natural, wicked, selfish affections that we have for ourselves and for the world, and turn us away from the neighbor, and turn us away from that good and truth that the Lord has put in us. And so the angels, try to stir up our affections for those goods and truths by reminding us that we chose them. So, for example, this is an example for children, but we can all see how it might apply to our lives. A child has promised his parent not to take cookies from the cookie jar. He has promised this. And he has paid attention to his parents when they taught him that thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. And he walks through the kitchen and he sees the cookie jar, and a new evil presents itself. He's just a child, so he only wants a cookie. And this is where an angel steps in and stirs that affection for his parents and stirs that affection for the word. And he can hear in his mind, in his conscience, thou shalt not steal, honor my father and my mother. And then he is in freedom. And that's what gives him freedom. So for us, we have temptations. They're not as juvenile as wanting to steal a cookie, but sometimes, frankly, they are. We may be at an intersection, and we may be able to let someone in, and we think, no, my life is more important than their life. I am in a hurry. But maybe the angels stir in you an affection saying, love your neighbor. You are not the center of the universe. Or maybe we're at work and somebody has brought cookies. And we know we've already had one and there's one left. We don't know if everyone at work has had a cookie. But how many of us, frankly, take that last cookie? There are innumerable examples in your life that we cannot cover in church, nor would it be appropriate. But take these simple examples into your life. And the Lord is inviting us to be free. We do not have to choose evil, because the Lord has given us guardian angels. He has commanded his angels concerning us to guard us in all our ways. Amen. And now to the one God of heaven and earth. Amen.